the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to another edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler, and you know, with Memorial Day behind us, where did that come and go? But it's gone already. Summer is arriving. I mean, you should be thinking of the beach or going to the river or wherever you're going to happen to vacation this type of year. Look at it. April's behind us. You filed your taxes, probably gotten your income tax refund. Your investments are in order. And you should be thinking about the things like beaches and vacations and mountains and biking and all of that stuff. And some of you may actually be getting ready to retire this year or have already done so recently. Surprise, surprise. That's what we talk about here on the program. What we'd like to do today is take a different cut on some of the things that we have done. We'd like to focus on one of the biggest expenses in your retirement. That is your federal tax bill. Now, here's the good news. If you resign yourself to paying taxes all of your life, we'll talk about how to enjoy a tax-free retirement without going to federal prison, meaning it's legal. I guess it could be a tax-free environment, Jim, and you have all of your expenses paid. You have, you know, all the meals every day.
Yeah, that's right. If you were in prison, all expense paid.
Yeah. Anyway, how do we do it legally and avoid the unpleasantness of going to prison?
You know, it's funny. When you tell clients that this is possible, you can enjoy tax-free income throughout your retirement years, it's almost too good to be true. But it also, there's a few caveats there. It really depends on your sources of income and the assets you hold. If 100% of your income comes from, let's say, a pension, or let's say you're pulling it out of IRA in a Social Security, it's more difficult to do that. But there are still ways to produce tax-free income. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Believe it or not, there's tax provisions within the law. Everything that I'm going to be talking about today, four ways to get tax-free income, every one of these are legal provisions in the law, and they're not fully understood.
I'm going to guess here as we start into this, we didn't talk about a lot there. I suspect tax-free bonds is going to be one of these. Most of our listeners are familiar with that because we've talked about it here on the program. Now, that would leave three others. So what are they? You've got my curiosity here.
We're going to talk about four tax-free options when combined can produce an enormous amount of tax-free income and dramatically reduce your federal taxes. I have several high-paying executives that retired that virtually, John, pay very little taxes given the amount of income that they have. And let's talk about them. One of them you just mentioned, tax-free bonds, that's been around a long time. But Congress over the years is added provisions to the tax code and provided other means of getting tax-free income. One of them is a health savings account, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, which is a very, very powerful tax planning tool to help pay for those medical expenses as you age and get older, especially as you get into your late 70s, maybe early 80s, when you're spending more of your budget on medical expenses. Roth IRAs is another way to get tax-free income. It's a way to turn your dividends, interest, into tax-free income for the rest of your life, and we're going to talk about the estate planning benefits of that, as well as the income tax advantages. And then another one that is probably going to surprise you, and that is dividends from a stock mutual fund can be tax-free up to a certain level based on your income. So there you have it. Four ways to get tax-free income: tax-free munis, health savings accounts, a Roth IRA, and dividends.
Yeah, but wait a minute. According to the latest tax stuff, I thought that dividends were taxable, now albeit a lower rate, but they're still taxable, right?
Well, they do become taxable once your income exceeds a certain level. Now, here's the good news that's going to surprise a lot of our listeners. Under a certain level of income, dividends, you pay zero taxes. That's right, zero taxes. This has been a very, very powerful tool for a lot of retirees over the last 8 years, especially when we were at a period when we had 0% interest rates on money market funds or at the bank. And this has been in the tax law, but it isn't widely used in tax planning. And here's where it's powerful. If you are single, the first $38,600 of dividend income, you pay 0% tax on. That's almost $39,000 of income you can get from dividends and pay no taxes. If you're married, it's $77,200 that you do not pay taxes on. Then, once you exceed that level, there's a 15% tax rate from $38,600 to $425,800. So it's only taxed at 15% when, you know, many retirees will find themselves in the 20% or upper 20% or low 30% tax bracket. For a married couple, anything over $77,200 all the way to $479,000 is taxed at 15%. Anything over $479,000 is taxed at 20%. And if you're single, anything over $425,800, you're taxed at 20%. So once again, if you're single, the first $38,600 is tax-free if it's coming from dividends and $77,200. But wait, the story gets even better. Under the Tax Cut Act that was passed in December of last year, goes into effect January of this year, they changed itemized deductions, but they increased the standard deduction. The standard deduction is $12,000 if you're single, is $24,000 if you are married. So what does that mean? If you add the standard deduction on top of your exemption from paying tax on dividends, you as a single individual can earn $50,600 and pay zero income tax if you are married. And listen to this closely. It's going to sound unreal, but it's true. If you are married, getting your income from dividends and you have a standard deduction of $24,000, the first $101,200 is tax-free. You pay zero taxes. So, John, imagine being single, not paying any tax on roughly $51,000, and if you're married, not paying tax on $101,000.
That is quite considerable, you know, and I don't think a lot of people know this.
No, I mean, you think about it. Let's just say, for example, you're married. And let's just make this easy. Let's just say that your Social Security is $24,000. All right. You have a standard deduction at $24,000. So that zips out your Social Security. And then if you have $77,000 of dividend income, you pay no income taxes, nor do you pay capital gains taxes. And this, here's the thing that'll really surprise you. It surprised me when I looked at the data. 70% of taxpayers in this country could qualify for paying zero tax on dividends and capital gains.
You know, what this means is that dividends are taxed, you know, as you're pointing out here, more favorably than interest income. And I can see why, aside from fundamentals of stocks, you've been a big proponent of this.
Yeah, because it's not only, and especially in the kind of environment that we have lived through in this bull market where you had the Fed bringing interest rates down to zero, so you weren't getting much in interest in money market funds, CDs, typical safe type investments, but you know, a lot of blue chip stocks back in 2009 all the way up to 2012, John, it was very easy to get a 4% dividend, which was almost twice what you could get in a treasury at that time. And don't forget, in the summer of 2016, 10-year treasuries got down to almost 1.3%. So it's something that we've been a strong proponent on because it's a great tax planning tool when combined with other types of deductions. But, you know, once again, who wouldn't want to get $38,000 of income tax-free or $77,000 of income tax-free if you were married?
Okay, so let's see. We have ticked off here tax-free bonds and then dividend interest up to a pretty generous point. The next would be, my guess is, medical savings accounts.
Yeah, health savings accounts are used, you put money aside, you have to be working, and you have to be in a plan that has a high deductible. But if you set up a health savings account, you can put money every single year. There's a limit for individuals. There's a limit for a family. And if the income or the principal later on is used to pay for medical expenses, it is tax-free. It's very much like the 529 plans they use to pay for college education. In this case, the government is saying, look, if you put money aside in a health savings account, if you use it for medical, it's tax-free. And this really is one of the best things you can do if you're retired or prior to retirement, setting up a health savings account and allowing that money to compound later on when you're going to need the money for medical expenses later on in your 70s and 80s. Now, for 2018, the limit is $3,450 for singles and roughly $6,900 for a qualified family. And here's another kicker. If you are over the age of 50, you can add another $1,000 to that. So it's $4,450 if you're single and $7,900 for a family. And I would strongly encourage you, if you are, let's say, age 50 and you're saving for retirement, put some money into a health savings account because that is going to come in handy. And I'll tell you, it will be a lifesaver. Imagine that money compounding for 10, 20, or 30 years and then being able to tap it for either long-term care or medical expenses that become a greater portion of your budget as you age. So this is just a great, great vehicle to use to pay for those medical expenses, which are one of the big ones looking down the road. And by far, one of the best tax planning tools that we have seen for handling medical expenses. Basically, if you're working, the government says if you qualify, you can put money away every single year, and the government wants you to do this. They know that you're going to be facing medical expenses later on, and this is their way of creating a tax incentive for you to do this so that you can turn it into tax-free income when you need it the most.
Okay, so we've piled up here tax-free dividends, health savings accounts. Now, next one is Roth IRAs.
You know, Roth IRAs are basically, there's two kinds. There's the contributory Roth IRA. That's where you put money aside every single year into a Roth IRA. And then there's something called Roth conversions. For a lot of people retired, Roth conversions are probably going to be something that's going to be, I mean, if you had to choose between putting money into a health savings account and a Roth IRA, you can always turn your IRA into a Roth conversion later on. But Roth contributions, that's assuming that you put money aside every single year. The limit is $5,500 for 2018, and you get an extra $1,000 if you're over age 50. So once again, the government has set up two kinds of tax-free savings vehicles, a Roth and a health savings account, and they give you an extra bonus $1,000 that you can contribute each year once you reach the age of 50. However, when it comes to Roth contributions, where you're contributing on an annual basis, like so many of the tax code, it gets more complex. If you are single at $135,000, they start to phase out the ability to contribute to a Roth IRA. And if you're married, they start to phase it out at $196,000. So for many retirees, that leaves what is called a Roth conversion. And what you're doing here is you're taking all or part of the balance of your existing traditional IRA, whether it's a regular IRA or an IRA rollover, let's say from a pension from work or a 401k plan, you move it over into a Roth. Now, there's some stipulations here. Number one, let's just use an example. You move $100,000. Let's say you have a $500,000 IRA rollover. You move $100,000 into a Roth. The problem is you're going to pay taxes on that $100,000 up front. So that's the first stipulation. The second one is you must leave the money in a Roth for 5 years. And we'll talk about some of the advantages here shortly. But if you do that, once this 5 years passed, you now have another tax-free income vehicle. It doesn't matter what you invest in a Roth IRA. You can invest in corporate bonds. You can invest in dividends. You could have capital gains. Anything you pull out is going to be tax-free. But once again, when you convert it to a Roth, you pay the tax up front. You might ask, why does the government do that? Well, they're looking for ways to get taxes. And if somebody wants to pay the tax up front in a lump sum under IRA versus mandatorily having to pay the tax on it once they reach age 70 and a half, the government is happy because they get the tax revenues up front. Now, here's a real key important gotcha that gets a lot of people when they turn age 70 and a half. At age 70 and a half, whatever you have in an IRA, you have to begin mandatory distributions that go up every single year. The older you get, the more you have to take out, and it has gotten a lot of people into higher tax brackets as they age. And the nice thing about a Roth is if you have a Roth IRA, there are no mandatory distributions at age 70 and a half. And more importantly, is if you pass your Roth IRA onto your heirs, assuming that the Roth IRA was in existence for 5 years, your heirs will not have to pay taxes on it, but they will have to make mandatory distributions. But nonetheless, those distributions will be tax-free. So Roth conversions are a very, very powerful planning tool for avoiding taxes, especially those RMD distributions that begin at age 70 and a half, which could very well put you into a high tax bracket. And for many of you that are not taking money out of your IRA, you're in your 60s, you're living off other sources of income, you may want to get together with your tax advisor and say, hey, given the size of my IRA, what is this going to look like for me when I have to begin mandatory distributions at age 70 and a half? And it's also a very effective estate planning tool, because you may not realize this, but when you, let's say, pass on your IRA to your heirs. Now, if you do something like an IRA stretch, your heirs can take out the income over a 5-year period and pay taxes on it in their own tax bracket. You got to be careful if you don't do that. If you just leave it into like a trust as a beneficiary, you could end up paying the income taxes all up front when, let's say, the last spouse passes away. So another advantage of a Roth IRA is not only will you not pay taxes, nor will you have to be required to take mandatory distributions, but when you will it to your heirs also will not have to pay income taxes on it.
All right, let's circle back to the one we mentioned right at the beginning. That'll be the final one here, final of four. Municipal bonds, tax-free bonds.
Very, very effective tool, especially for many of you that live in high tax states like my own state of California, which is the highest tax state in the country. Our income taxes are 13.3. A couple other states are talking about raising income taxes further. For example, the state of New Jersey, you have high taxes in the state of Oregon, Hawaii, New York. So there are a lot of states that charge you a lot of high income tax rates. In addition, as we have talked on previous programs, estate tax rates as well. So the nice thing about it is that if you use them as investments, I would highly recommend that you own them individually. And the reason you want to do that is rates rise, you can lose money in a tax-free bond fund. And more importantly, a lot of the tax-free bond funds, this is something that we have to point out to clients who come to us that may own tax-free bond funds and they wonder why they're losing money in the last 6 months. The reason they're losing money is a lot of those tax-free bond funds use leverage, meaning they go out and borrow money. And remember when you could borrow money at next to nothing, and then they invest the money in tax-free bonds at a higher rate? Well, that works as long as interest rates are going down. When interest rates are going up now, as they are doing, and will go up even further as the Fed continues to raise rates, a lot of these municipal bond funds have leverage, and that's what's causing them to lose money. Another reason that you also wanted to use individual bonds and you want to do your homework is we've covered on the weekend show, Moody's did a report on the fiscal soundness of many of the states. There are 15 states that are going to be in deep financial trouble in the next downturn. And there's a couple like my own state of California that are very close to getting into financial trouble, especially as we spend our surpluses. And basically, the budget in California just keeps going up and up and up, which is one reason they've been raising taxes just about every single year. So I'm not in favor of bond funds or municipal bond funds, especially because of the leverage aspect and especially because of rising interest rates. The nice thing, if you own an individual municipal bond, let's say you own a municipal bond, pays you 3% tax-free, double tax-free, and you own it and matures in 10 years. You get your 3% every single year and never changes. They never lower it like they do in bond funds. And when the bond comes due in 10 years, you get your money back 100%. So they're less risky, but you just need to do your homework. If you're going to invest in this area, strongly recommend you talk to an investment advisor or do a lot of homework on your own, because believe it or not, folks, municipalities do default on their bonds, as many investors in California found out when many of our cities went bankrupt.
So to summarize it all up, four sources of tax-free income, which are useful in retirement. Number one, dividends, stock dividends. If income does not exceed approximately $39,000 if you're single or $77,000 if you're married. Number two, health savings accounts. Three, Roth IRAs or Roth IRA conversions. And finally, tax-free bonds. So if you're thinking about retiring, you want tax-free income, that's one way to get it legally. Tomorrow on the program, Helena Gray from Mount Yoga is going to be Jim's guest, avoiding the pitfalls of aging, falls and arthritis and dementia. And Jim, time for our real-life case study, which, as they all are, a hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed, obviously to protect privacy. We have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that are being made here.
This is the case of Mark and Sally Benson. Mark is age 65. Sally is age 56. And Mark recently sold his business, so he's ready to retire and enjoy life. And quite a few issues that are coming here. A lot of them had to do with taxes, which is a big issue if you live in a state like California, where the income tax rate can go all the way up to 13.3. And imagine the federal rates, which until recently were as high as 39.6. You add the loss of itemized deductions and a bunch of other things, you could be as high as 44 federal and 13.3 state level. That's why you had the famous golfer Phil Mickelson at one time when California raised the taxes to 13.3. He said, I might as well quit working. I'm almost given 60% of what I make in the form of taxes. Well, Mark really got hit. He sold his business for over $3 million. And the capital gains taxes on it were well over $1 million, almost 24% at the federal level and 13.3% at California. So you can imagine working all your life, and then you go to sell your business and the government comes in and takes almost one third of it in the form of taxes. So taxes were a big issue that we had to face. The other thing that we had to look at, as Mark was on Medicare being age 65, but Sally being age 56 would not be on Medicare for another 9 years. So we had to find a medical policy to cover Sally's medical expenses. Now their portfolio, roughly almost $2.1 million in cash, which reflected the net proceeds minus a few goodies after selling the business. They had, Mark roughly had, it was close to $450,000 in a 401k, which was rolled over into an IRA. Sally's IRA was $100,000, so roughly about $550,000 in an IRA. They had a home. It was worth close to $900,000, which, folks, for California, that's really nothing. I mean, you know, when you mention $900,000, John, you think of a McMansion, but $900,000 basically, it buys you a nice house in California, but not a mansion. And the other asset is, this was their reward for selling the business, is they owned a Ranger tug, which was a transportable sort of trawler that was worth about $300,000. And their goal was to cruise the Pacific Northwest during the summers and eventually have their boat trucked over to the East Coast and do the intercoastal waterway. Boy, am I envious. So Their goals, basically, they wanted the cruising lifestyle. That was one of their hobbies. The big concern was taxes, and especially, you can imagine, after paying and writing a check for $1 million to the governor and Uncle Sam, what it would be like to pay a huge capital gain on the sale of your business. What we wanted to do here is we wanted to put together a program that would minimize his taxes. But the one thing I told him, I said, if you want to get to the point where you're basically paying no taxes, we can do that over a 5-year period. And here's what we wanted to do. While he was in a low tax bracket, because he's no longer taking the salary he was getting when he was running his business, we were going to pull out $100,000 a year out of his IRA, and we were going to convert it into a Roth. So the idea was, over a 5-year period, Mark would be age 70, Sally would be 61, the entire IRA would be in a Roth IRA, so we would have close to $600,000 in a Roth that would be producing tax-free income. The other thing I told them is we wanted to have dividend stocks in the portfolio because, number one, they're taxed even in his tax bracket. We wanted to keep them in a low tax bracket. And so if we took that out and used dividends, we would keep them in a 24% tax bracket. But here's the good news. In 5 years, they would be able to get $101,000 from dividends in their portfolio and pay zero taxes. And the other source of income, which would be their income from their Roth if they needed it, which they don't, because basically their home was paid for, their boat was paid for. So the only thing they had was basically your, you know, food, utilities, phone bills, and travel bills, and especially towing their boat. If they want to, for example, he was telling me it would cost almost $5,000 to truck their boat up to the Pacific Northwest and bring it back. So basically in 5 years, they would have an income that would be well over $100,000 a year. $101,000 we could get tax-free with the standard exemption and dividends. And then whatever that IRA would grow to, the Roth, which could grow, let's say it was $1 million, we could pull out another $40,000 of tax-free income. So in this case, the plan was that in 5 years, they were going to be totally tax-free on all their investments. The dividends would be tax-free with the standard exemption and the amount that they could take as a married couple. And then everything coming out of their retirement account, their Roth, would be tax-free. The only thing that they would have that's taxable in any form would be their Social Security. And I said, you know what we could do is we could just start adding more municipal bonds, as we're doing now, and just increase the municipal bond portion of the portfolio. And basically in 5 years, they were going to be living tax-free for the rest of their life.
And coming up again tomorrow on the program, Helena Gray, Mount Yoga, avoiding the pitfalls of aging, which are, among others, falls, arthritis, dementia. And so you want to make sure you join us again tomorrow on the program. Future shows, Jim, looking to what?
You know, we're going to be doing a couple things of how to keep your portfolio safe. We're going to be doing some pre-planning moves. For example, I'm just amazed at the number of parents that aren't using 529 plans to save tax-free for their kids' education or using health savings accounts to accumulate a tax-free vehicle or Roth IRAs. We talked about 4 ways to get tax-free income here. One, tax-free bonds. Everybody's known about that. But not too many people are using Roths. They're not using HSAs, and they haven't thought about the tax-free status of dividends as a married couple or a single individual, because in this bull market, the vast majority of individuals have put their money in bond funds where they're paying ordinary income taxes when they could have had their money in dividends and pay zero taxes on their dividend income. So we'll be doing more shows on that to help you pre-plan in some moves that you can do 10 years, 15 years, what you should be doing to get ready for retirement so you don't get to the, you know, age 66 or 67, probably anybody age 50 right now, full retirement age will be 67, but things that you should be doing right now to set yourself up for living tax-free when you get to those retirement years. All of that and many other topics in the months ahead. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.